Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we invite you in for the continuation of our teaching series centered on Bob's study guide called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Copies of the book and the study guide are available at basicgospel.net. So all you need to do is click the Simple Gospel book link right at the top of the homepage. You'll find them both the book and the Bible study guide. But for right now, it's time to get underway with this Friday edition through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. And here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're on Chapter 9 of the study guide. That's 63 in your on page 63 in your study guide, and it's a chapter entitled Let Go. Now, through my many years of ministry, and Mr. Davis, you've experienced this as well, we've talked to people, and people have said things like that: this, I know God has forgiven me, but I'm having a hard time forgiving myself.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big issue that a lot of people face and struggle with. They can't let go of the past. Mm-hmm. They keep bringing the past forward. They allow the past to identify them, and they're trying to figure out a way of letting go.
Yeah.
And really making peace with the past and moving on. Well, it's interesting when you go through the Bible, when you read it from cover to cover, you never see anywhere in there where God says to forgive yourself. And I think that's important. That's a very important observation, because we can only forgive ourselves when we know that God has forgiven us, when we really know that God has dealt with our sins once and for all. So we want to help you if you're struggling with this, really take a deep dive into the Word of God and see the forgiveness that you have in Christ Jesus. So let's dive in. I want to start with this quote from C.S. Lewis. He says this: I think that if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. It's just that plain and that simple. Our standards for forgiveness aren't higher than God's. And if he's released us from our sins, if he's released us from our past, it just makes sense that we do the same, that we grease the hands and let go and start moving forward and thinking about this new life that we have in Christ. And that's one of the things that we've established over the last several weeks in this particular study, that God has done everything necessary to take away your sins once and for all. He removed them from you, he sent them away, and he remembers them no more. That's what it means to be forgiven. And that's what you receive the moment you receive Christ. You received forgiveness of sins. And so the Bible is very clear. It says, in him you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace. So in Christ, if you're in Christ, you've been cleansed, you've been forgiven, you have forgiveness of sins. You don't need to ask for more. You don't need to try to beg and plead and earn more forgiveness. It's been given to you in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Christ shed his blood once for all, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So we need to realize that we are forgiven people. And once we realize that, this issue of being able to forgive yourself just takes care of itself.
Right.
So that's the good news of the Bible. Now, when you go to Google or a search engine or something like that, and you put in the question, how can I forgive myself? You're going to come up with a lot of information. There is a lot of information out there on the web, and all of it involves self-help programs, you know, 10 steps to this, 5 steps to this. And all the gurus have weighed in on this subject, from Deepak Chopra, Oprah Winfrey, Dr. Phil. I mean, you can find any of the gurus weighing in on this topic of forgiving yourself. And when I was doing the research on this book, Bob, I came across a study at Stanford University. They had this thing called the Forgiveness Project, the Stanford Forgiveness Project. Now, the fact that a major university like that was tackling a project on forgiveness really fascinated me. But it was interesting. The lead researcher concluded that he said this, in this way, forgiveness may be, as the religious traditions have been claiming all along, a rich path to greater peace and understanding that also has both psychosocial and physiological value. So one of the things that they learned in this study, that forgiveness is important. Mm-hmm. It's important to the human experience. It's important to our psychosocial well-being and our physiological well-being. Yeah. So I think that's interesting. But it all takes us back to the gospel, the death of Jesus Christ, because God is where forgiveness originated. So if we want to know what true forgiveness is, we have to look to God. If we want to let go of our past, if we want to make peace with our past, then we have to look to what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, in the Word of God, we see some warnings. And in Hebrews 12:15, and this is the top of page 64, we read this: "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Now, what happens when we're struggling with forgiving ourselves? What happens when we're struggling with letting go of the past? Well, what's happened is we've fallen short of the grace of God, and we've allowed a bitter root to grow in us and to cause trouble to our souls, and it defiles the many relationships. I mean, it's very difficult to deal with a person who keeps bringing up their past, who keeps living in the past. So what warning does Hebrews 12:15 give us? It says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God." Well, what is the grace of God? Well, I just talked about that. Romans or Ephesians 1:7. "In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace." Forgiveness is a gift of grace. So if we're struggling with forgiving ourselves, we've missed the fact that God has forgiven us. We've been blinded to the fact that God has taken away our sins once and for all. So what does this bitterness cause when we give into kind of our own understanding concerning the forgiveness of sins? Well, it leads to trouble. It leads to trouble. Now, this word trouble isn't trouble within relationships. It's trouble within your own soul. It's that disturbance of the soul. And that's what he's talking about. And that makes us anxious in life. That makes us walk on eggshells. That makes us think that the worst is yet to come, that somewhere around the corner we're going to be hit by God's punishment, or something bad is going to happen to us. That's the trouble that this passage is talking about. So if you're having issues with forgiving yourself, you're going to experience some trouble deep within the soul. So do you think, and this is the question, one of the questions we ask, do you think that someone who says they know God has forgiven them but can't forgive themselves really understands God's forgiveness? And I think the answer to that is a resounding no. So what then is the solution to forgiving yourself? Well, the solution is resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The solution is in rejoicing in the fact that your sins have been forgiven on account of Jesus' name. Yeah. To rejoice in the fact that God remembers your sins no more. So we keep dragging up our past, and God says, "It's over. I remember your sins no more." It would do your soul a whole bunch of good if you would get on the same page and remember those sins of the past no more as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're off and running on this edition of our Friday series, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, based on Bob's book of the same name. We'd love for you to get a copy of it. You can do that by going online and clicking the Basic Gospel book link right there on the homepage, and we would love to get a copy of it into your hands. Now, through this Sunday, December 13th, you can save 25% on your total purchase from the Basic Gospel Gospel online store, friends, and you can get free shipping. That's hard to beat. Well, this is a great time to pick up gifts and stocking stuffers with eternal impact. CDs, DVDs, books, Bible study guides, everything is there for you, and everything is 25% off now through Sunday. So visit store.basicgospel.net and choose your product. Your discount will be automatically applied at checkout. So again, now through Sunday, 25% off at store.basicgospel.net. And Bob, as we're into December now, well into December, as a matter of fact, there's a need to focus on some year-end giving.
Yes, indeed. So if you're interested in purchasing Christmas gifts through the Basic Gospel store, while you're there, consider giving a donation. We certainly need your help. It's critical that we hear from you, our listeners. It's critical for you to step up and support the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel. So if you can help us with a year-end gift, we encourage you to do so. Do so today by visiting us at basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button, or if you're at the store, just add a donation to your purchase.
Great idea. And, of course, we want to send you a copy of Bob's latest CD series called Making the Case for Grace When You Make Your Contribution. So it's a rich study, Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. So request your copy when you make your December gift at basicgospel.net. Right now, back to Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. So, Bob, take it away.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, there are a number of reasons why we might miss the grace of God in our lives, as the writer of Hebrews warned there. And I want to start with this one, and it's this idea that we as human beings are basically good. A lot of people have a hard time letting go of the past because they think it's somebody else's fault. Yeah. And so they say in their own hearts, you know, if this person hadn't done that, or if this hadn't happened to me, then, you know, my life would be a completely different story, would look completely different. Mm-hmm. So what is that? Well, that is somebody basically saying in their hearts they believe that they're basically good, that all things would turn out well if it just weren't for external forces, mm-hmm. external factors. Yeah. Well, the Word of God really blows that myth right out of the water. And we see this in Mark chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus is having a conversation, and somebody calls him good teacher. And so he responds to that person. He says, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone." So how does Jesus explode the myth that we are basically good? Well, he says no one is good, yeah, except God alone. He is the good one, and every good and perfect gift comes from him.
Yeah.
Now, when he made us, when he created everything, everything that he created, he looked at and said, it's good. Why? Because it came from him. It reflected his goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, sin got into the picture, and sin messed up that goodness of God. And so when we're born into this world, we're not reflecting the goodness of God. We're reflecting the ways of this world. We're reflecting the lies of Satan. We're reflecting our own selfishness, our own selfish ambition. We're reflecting our own desires to gratify the desires of the flesh. So we're not reflecting the goodness of God until we come to Christ by grace through faith in Jesus. So Jesus explodes this myth by basically saying no one is good except God alone. So you're not claiming to be God, are you, if you think you're basically good, because he's the only one that is good. In Romans 3, 10 through 12, we read this: "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." Mm. So what does Romans 3 say about the character of people apart from Jesus Christ? Well, there's no one righteous. It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
We can't come up with this nonsense that we are basically good people. The Word of God says differently, and our own experience says something differently. I mean, all of us have struggled with that Romans 7 problem, the things that we want to do, we don't do, the things we don't want to do, we do anyway. That's humanity.
Yeah.
That's the human experience. So Romans tells us there's no one righteous, no, not one. But here's the good news. God justifies us, and he declares us righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. So he restores that goodness to us, and that is wonderful, wonderful news. We see in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Well, again, that's another description of people apart from Jesus Christ. So we can't come up with this nonsense that we're basically good. So let's come to the truth and realize that we needed a Savior. His name is Jesus, and we need the forgiveness that only he can provide. And once we receive that forgiveness, once we rest in that finished work of Jesus Christ, then we can let go of our past and we can walk in the newness of life. Mm-hmm. So, no, there's no one good except for Jesus. When we turn to him, he justifies us. He makes us righteous in his sight, and he's the cure.
Yeah.
And so in him, we can truly let go of our past and remember our sins no more, just as God remembers them no more.
Absolutely. Well, this is Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, Bob Christopher's book by the same title. We're going through the study guide. We're glad you're with us, and we would love to have you continue as we go week by week. And if you would like to visit the archive, if you've missed any of the sessions along the way, just visit basicgospel.net/teaching, and that will take you right there. You can order the book and the study guide from that very same website, that page, basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, remember, as Bob said a few moments ago, we really would love to have your help as we approach the end of the year. Giving to Basic Gospel is probably the greatest investment that you'll ever make in eternity in someone's life. So we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net and make that gift. And when you do, we're going to send you a copy of Bob's brand new CD called Making the Case for Grace. It's a wonderful study through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. We want you to have a copy of it, Making the Case for Grace, and you can get yours as you request it when you make your contribution to Basic Gospel during this month of December at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Getting back to this I'm basically good idea, the basically good philosophy that so many people live by.
Yes.
A number of years ago, there was a radio shock jock that made a statement, and he made it meaning to be funny, but it ended up being a very offensive statement. Mm-hmm. And he didn't realize how offensive it was until his company threatened to fire him or to suspend him.
Yeah.
And this provoked a public apology. And he made this apology with cameras rolling, and he basically said, I need to provide a context for who I am and what I do. Well, here's the setup. I'm basically a good person. And that's what he said. They need to know that I am a good person who said a bad thing, and there is a big difference. And he went on to say at the end of this public apology, I don't need a come to Jesus meeting in all of this. So we see this is prevalent. This is not just something that a few people live by. This is something that we all deal with. We all want to think of ourselves as basically good. I know in my own life, I would spend some of the things that I did in such a way that it would cast the best light possible on me. Why? Because I wanted people to think of me as a good person. Now, I knew the truth deep down inside, but I wanted others to think of me as a good person, and I think that's true of all of us. Well, let's just let go of that and recognize that it's okay to admit the truth, and it's also okay to, and it's what the Word of God wants us to do, to really embrace this new identity that we have in Jesus Christ. That's the thing that will help us let go of the past. The second thing that oftentimes will force people or compel people to miss the grace of God is this idea that they've crossed a line, that their sin is so bad that they are at a place where they are unreachable, that they are beyond the reach of God. And that's just not true. We could never be beyond the reach of God. Paul is the perfect example of that. In his letter to Timothy, he wrote this: "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." So Paul wasn't saying that, hey, that this is my identity, chief sinner. No, he was saying that he's the prototypical person apart from Jesus Christ. I mean, his sins were big. He blasphemed the name of Jesus Christ. He persecuted believers. He tried to rid the world of Christianity, to blot Christianity off the map. That's what Paul was all about, and then he met Jesus. So as far as sins, the things that you could do, you couldn't have done much worse than Paul did. Blaspheming the name of God was a capital offense. I mean, the law is very clear on that in Leviticus, that anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord should be stoned to death. That's why in the Word of God, when you see Jesus making statements like "I and the Father are one," or "before Abraham was, I am," the Jews picked up stones to stone him. Why did they do that? Why? Because the law said that's what needed to be done if somebody committed blasphemy. And even at the end of Jesus's life, when he was standing before Caiaphas and the chief priest and the council, Caiaphas asked him, "Who do you say that you are? And are you the Christ, the Son of God?" And Jesus said, "I am." And at that, Caiaphas tore his clothes and said, "We don't need to hear any more. You have heard the blasphemy. This man deserves to die." And so they handed it over to Pilate to be crucified. So that's what Paul was doing. He was blaspheming the name of God. So he deserved to die. That was a capital offense according to the law. And yet he received mercy. So he knew that he had committed the worst atrocities that a person could commit, but he was not beyond the reach of God. Right. God extended mercy to him. He met Paul on a road to Damascus. Paul wasn't expecting that, but God so loved him that he sent Jesus specifically to meet him on that road to Damascus. And at that moment, Paul received mercy. Yeah. So if you feel like you've crossed a line, if you feel like you're in a place where you're beyond the reach of God's grace and forgiveness, let Paul be an example to you. That's why he wrote this particular passage. That's why he put it in this letter to Timothy, to put himself out there as an example of just how far the grace of God can reach and how powerful the mercy of God is to save one who was a blasphemer and turn him into a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ.
Bob, that's such a great message. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you for preparing it. I know our listeners are benefiting from what you're teaching each and every week through these studies of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And friends, we're glad that you are here for today's study. To get your copy of the study guide, just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book link on the homepage of our website, basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, as we said, that we need your partnership to keep the good news of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please donate today at basicgospel.net. And to say thanks for your partnership with Basic Gospel, we'll send you a copy of Bob's new Roman CD series called Making the Case for Grace. Request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net, and we would really love to have your help as we approach the end of the year. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Sunday morning as Bob presents Sunday Morning Live. That's 9:30 Central Time, Sunday Morning Live, and you can link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this week, everybody. Stay safe and join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.